I shall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will be remembering that.
How are you, Dr. Vinegar?
Oh, pretty good. How you doing?
Ready for a exam?
Yeah, I hope this is gonna go real smoothly. I've got a practice exam I'm gonna step you through. What I want you to observe, of course, is the strategy in which I approach the road reduction. That's most of the exam. So I'll work those out explicitly. The one problem that people have sometimes with that first exam is they do road reduction, but they don't have a consistent strategy, so they go around in circles and they never get to reduce row echelon form, etc. So watch what I do. What you'll see is that everything, you have plenty of room on the exam, even though it looks like you don't have much room, but you'll have plenty of time. I think you can, if you knew what you were doing, you could do the exam in 20 minutes. So take 40 minutes to check your work as you're working along. The other thing I want to point out is that, Okay, let me bring this up here. Maybe laptop.
How many problems are gonna be on the exam?
I think six. And you'll see as we step through the exam. Typically, a big part of the exam is gonna be solving a linear system. And that takes several steps. You have to form the augmented matrix, you have to row reduce the row echelon form, you have to further row reduce it to reduce row echelon form, and then you have to write the solution as a hyperplane. Well, instead of giving you one problem with parts A, B, and C, I've broken it up into the four problems so that a mistake made in the first part doesn't carry over to a mistake made in the second part, because that's the one weakness of row reduction, is that it's easy to make a small, miss a sign or incorrectly add two numbers together, and then it screws up everything else that you do subsequently. So I've broken the row reduction problems where you're solving linear system into several independent problems. It's just that I start you midway through the actual calculation in the all but the first one.
It'll be like find the augmented matrix is problem one, problem two is reduce the row echelon, problem.
Yeah, I mean, I'll show you explicitly. We'll go through this. So the first on problem three is you have a linear system. You need to write down an augmented matrix and row reduce it. And four, you're given a matrix in row echelon form, but it need to be row reduced to reduce row echelon form. And then in a third problem, you're given a matrix in reduced row echelon form, and you need to write down that hyperplane. So, I like to break things up. In some sense, then the exam is maybe four problems, except that I change the matrix every time I start a new step. Anyway, let's step through this. So the first part of the course, we introduce vectors and matrices, etc. This exam is mostly calculational, so the theory is not going to appear too explicitly, maybe a little bit in the second problem. But let's do the first problem first. All we need to do is multiply together two matrices. So what you have to know in order to do that is that if you have in this case, we have a matrix with three rows, so I guess it's B and C on the exam. So B and C. So we have a matrix that has three rows and two columns, and it's multiplying a matrix with two rows and three columns. So before we even start calculating, we notice we have the match that we need for that product to be defined, and that these outer dimensions are going to give us the result. The dimensions of the matrix that can come from this product. So we know we're going to get a 3x3 matrix out of this product. It's defined because the inner dimensions match, and the outer dimensions we're going to give you the size of the eventual matrix. What we use is the following formula. To get the entry in the ith row and jth column of the product, we take the dot product of the ith row with the first factor with the jth column of the second factor. And for the given matrix, we can do that. Let me do it explicitly on the paper. Here we go. 1, 0, 2, minus 1, 3, 1. And I have 1, 0, 1, 0, minus 1, 1. Okay, so watch my fingertips. And that's how you can rapidly compute these dot products of rows of the first factor and columns of the second factor. So I'm going to need one in this 1, 1 slot up in this corner. So I'll take the first row and first column, and I'll take their dot product. So that will be 1 times 1 plus 0 times 0 is 1. Then I'm going to have, I have a second column I can work with. So I have 1 times 0 plus 0 times 1 is 0. And finally, I have 1 times 1 plus 0 times 1 is 1. All right, so that gives giving me the first row of the product. Now I'm going to, I got all these elements by using just the first row with the first factor. Now I move to the second row, and I do the same thing. 2 times 1 plus minus 1 times 0 is just going to be 2. 2 times 0 plus minus 1 times minus 1 is 1. 2 times 1 plus minus 1 times 1. Well, let's see. 2. Oh, sorry. C is written incorrectly here. This should have been a 0 there. So I have 2 times 1 plus 0 is 2. And then the third row, 3 times 1 plus 0 is 3. 0 times 3 minus 1 times 1 is minus 1.
Can you adjust the
vertices? Oh, I can't really do that, I don't think. Maybe what I can do is turn off the lights here. Maybe that will help. Is that a little better? Yeah, let me try autofocus, see if that straightens it up a little bit. It looks better on the computer monitor. I hope that's, yeah, part of the problem is my pen, I think. All right, so I'll do that last entry. And the last one would be 3 times 1 plus 1 times 0, or simply 3. All right, so there it is, 3 minus 1, 1. All right, okay, so I'll work with this pin. All right, so yeah, matrix multiplication should be really easy. Oh, by the way, notice at the top of the exam, no calculators. I want you to work out all these problems by hand. There are calculators out there, even smartphones, for which you can put in the entries of the matrix, and it'll tell you everything you want to know about that matrix. Its row echelon form, what its inverse is, etc. I don't want you to do that because part of the point, my point on emphasizing row reduction, and we'll see that in the next problem, is your ability to interpret the calculation as you're working it through. So let me give you an example of that with this second problem. I give you three matrices. They happen to be in row echelon form. And what I want you to do is tell me about the linear systems from which these augmented matrices came from, and to describe the solution set without doing any row reduction. You're just supposed to look at those things and be able to detect what kind of linear system it came from, a number of equations and a number of variables. You ought to be able to tell whether or not this system even has a solution by looking at these matrices. And you ought to be able to tell actually the dimension of the solution set by looking at those matrices. The way you do that, let's look at problem B first. In problem B, it's got three rows. So that means we had three equations initially. And the left-hand side of these augmented matrix corresponds to the coefficient matrix. Each column here corresponds to a particular variable. It would be like x1, x2, x3, and x4. So what I want you to look at in this second example is that the equation corresponding to the third row is 0 times x1, 0 times x2, 0 times x3, plus 0 times x4 is equal to negative 1, which basically that last row is telling me that 0 is equal to minus 1, which is a contradiction. It's not true that 0 is equal to 1. And so because one of the equations corresponding to this augmented matrix leads to a contradiction, there's not going to be any solution to the corresponding linear system. So the full answer to part B would be three equations, four variables, but no solution. And you don't have to consider this third item here, because the hypothesis is if the linear system does have a solution, then I want to know the number of free variables, but there's no solution. So you can ignore that third question for part B. Now, the other examples of a matrices, you don't have that phenomenon. Anytime you have a pivot in the last column of an augmented matrix, you're going to end up with an equation that says basically zero is equal to some non-zero number. That's when you know you don't have a solution. As long as you don't have a row like this, then you will have a solution. All right, so let's look at now parts A and B. They do have solutions because you don't have this phenomenon with a pivot in the last column. So in part A, I have four rows. So that's four equations. On the left-hand side, I have four columns. So it was four equations and four variables. Now, how many solutions do we have? Well, it does have a solution because this phenomenon is not occurring. And then to get the free parameters, what you do is you count the number of columns that do not have pivots. The pivot columns corresponding to where pivots live, they correspond to variables that you can solve for. And the columns without pivots, and here it's only the third column here that doesn't have the pivot. That's a pivot, that's a pivot, that's a pivot. So it's just this third column that's without a pivot. That means one free variable. So one column without a pivot means one free variable in the solution. All right, so that's part A, and part C, it looks like we have even though this is a zero row, I want you to imagine that this came from a system of four equations and three unknowns, but somehow during the course of row reduction, a zero row appeared. We'll still think of this augmented matrix as corresponding to four equations, because there are four rows, and three variables. So four equations and three variables. And then it does have a solution because this phenomenon here does not occur. And in fact, if you look on the left-hand side, every column on the left has a pivot. So there are no columns without pivots. And that means no free variables, which is not the same thing as saying there's no solution. Actually, it's saying that there's a unique solution, that you don't have any degrees of freedom that you can adjust to get more solutions. Okay, so You should probably, you'll probably see a problem like that on the exam, and that's how quickly you can solve it. All right, now we're actually getting the nuts and bolts of doing the calculation that's necessary to solve a linear system. And we'll do it in three steps. In problem three, I give you a set of linear equations, and you're to write down the augmented matrix and then row reduce it to at least row echelon form. All right, so let's do that. First equation, there's nothing multiplying x1, so I'll put a zero there, minus one times x2, two times x3, and then on the right-hand side of the equation, the number one. Second equation, coefficient matrix is 2, 1, 1. On the right-hand side, we have 0, and then minus 1, 1, 1, 3. All right, that's half the problem there, just writing down that matrix. Now what we have to do is row reduce it to row echelon form. That's getting it in the form where the entries occur in sort of this, the zero is concentrated in this lower left-hand corner, but the thing we're looking at actually mostly is these pivots. We want them to occur in a downward staircase when we've got the matrix in row echelon form. And there's a particular way that we're going to take our given matrix and put it in this form. We have to use elementary row operations. So these are, for example, interchanging the order of two rows. Or what we can do is we can take a row and we can replace it by a multiple of itself. Or the third allowed operation is to replace a row by its sum with a multiple of another row. Just using these three operations, we want to convert this matrix into row echelon form. All right, now, here's a pivot, and there's an entry below a pivot, but more of a problem is we don't have a pivot up in this upper right-hand corner. That's where we want to start. So the first thing I'm going to do is maybe take this third row and interchange it with the first row so I get a pivot up in this corner. That will give me something I can work with. So what we'll do is we'll take row one and interchange it with row three. And I'll get minus one, 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 three. Nothing's happening with the second row. And third row, first row is going down to the bottom. One, okay. All right, now I have somewhat row echelon form, at least the second and third rows have the pattern, but here we have a pivot sitting directly below a pivot. So I'm gonna wanna clear out that guy. And I can do that easily by sending row two to row two plus two times row one. I'm trying to use this element in row one to clear out this entry. So that's why I multiply by two. And then I'll have, let's see, first row's not changing. One, 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 three. Last row's not changing in this operation. Two, one. Okay, now we're gonna add two times row one to the second row. So minus two plus two is zero. 2 plus 1 is 3, 2 plus 1 is 3, and 3 plus 0 is 3. Okay, well, and now let's simplify this a little bit. Let's send row 3 to 1 third, oh, sorry, row 2 to 1 third, row 2, minus 1, 1, 1, 3, 0, 1, 1, 1, and 0, minus one, two, one. That's just to make the next step a little bit easier. The real problem I have, and the reason why this matrix is not in in row echelon form is because I have a pivot below a pivot. And I want to clear out this guy, but I'm going to do so without introducing fractions.
Is the answer to row 2 supposed to be 6, not 3?
Ah, yeah, it should be, shouldn't it? Because I'm adding 3 to 3. Yeah, so that should have been 6. That would be 6, and then that would make this 2. All right, so the last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to send the third row to row 3 plus row 2, minus 1, 1, 1, 3, 0, 1, 1, 2. I'm just rewriting the first two rows, but here's where the action is going to go on. 0, 1 plus minus 1 is 0, 1 plus 2 is 3, and 2 plus 1 is 3. All right, now I'm stopping here. I'm only asked to go to row echelon form, and I've got a matrix now where the pivots are in that nice descending staircase, and we're done. All right, so that's the first stage of row reduction. And having covered that, in problem 4, what I do is I move on to the next stage of row reduction. I give you a matrix that's already in row echelon form, underline the pivots here. And the goal now is to transform this matrix into reducer echelon form. So now our strategy is different. Instead of trying to clear out entries below pivots, we worry about the entries above pivots, and we worry about the value of the pivots themselves. They should be normalized to be equal to 1. So let's take care of that second problem first. We'll send row 1 to 1 half row 1. That will convert that 2 into a 1. We'll send row 2 to 1 third row 2. That will change that 3 to a 1. And in the third row, what we'll do is we'll divide by minus 2. Then we get a new matrix. It's 1, 1, 2, 3, 1, 1. 0, 0, 1, 2, 2, 1. 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, minus 1. And the last row, nothing ever goes on there. It started off all zeros, and it's going to stay all zeros. All right, so good. Now I've got a matrix that's in row echelon form, and the pivots are all equal to 1. The last thing to do is to clear out these entries that are these non-zero entries that sit above pivots in lower rows. So I need to get rid of that 2 because there's a pivot below it, and the 1 and the 2 have to be removed using the third row. But we start from the bottom now, and we'll send, for example, row 1. Let's replace it by row 1 minus row 3. What I'm trying to do is get rid of this guy up here, so I'll subtract the third row from it to get that to cancel. And similarly, row 2 is going to go to row 2. I have a 2 here, so I'm going to need negative 2 times this guy to get that cancellation, minus 2 row 3. And we'll get 1, 1, 2, 3. I can write down those first 4 entries easily because as I add 3 multiples of 3 to these things, these first 4 entries are not going to have any effect. But then here's what we will have an effect. We'll get a 0. 1 minus 1 is 0. 1 minus negative 1 is 2. All right, you're subtracting the third row from the first. So 1 minus negative 1 will effectively be 1 plus 1. And then when we do this, we get 0, 0, 1, 2. And then we're going to have 2 minus 2 is 0. And 1 minus a negative 2 is going to produce 3. And the last row is not changing. 0, 0, sorry, second to last row. 1 minus 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. All right, last problem. That entry in the first row, third column, is sitting above the pivot in the second row. So we'll send row 1 to row 1 minus 2 times row 2. Then we'll get 1, 1, 0. Let's see. 3 minus 4 is negative 1. 0 minus 2 times 0 is 0. And 2 minus 2 times 3 is going to be 2, negative 6, it would be minus 4, I guess. And then we have 0, 0, 1, 2, 0, 3. 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, minus 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. And then we're done. Here are the pivots. They're occurring in the downward staircase. They're all equal to 1. And sorry, it's off screen. And above and below pivots, I have nothing but zeros. So this is the answer to that problem. Okay, questions so far? All right, so if we were solving a linear system, we're now at the final stage where we've got an augmented matrix in reducible echelon form, and the problem is going to be to write down the hyperplane expression for the solution. Well, I'll start a new problem with the same basic principle at play. Here's a matrix in reducible echelon form. And I want you to take this matrix and tell me what the solution looks like as a hyperplane. All right, so let's first write down the equations corresponding to this. The augmented matrix in reducible echelon form is the augmented matrix of the solution. So when I go to equations, I'll have 0 times x1 plus x2 plus 0 times x3 minus 2 times x4 plus x5 is equal to 1. That's the first row leads to that equation. Second row is similarly going to lead to x3 plus x4 minus x5 is equal to 2. And the last two rows simply say 0 is equal to 0 and 0 is equal to 0. All right, now, these are supposed to be the equations of the solution. But if I just had these two, I look like another linear system. And it doesn't particularly look like the solution to anything. Well, what's missing here, and the way you recognize this as a solution, is you pick the variables that correspond to columns with pivots. So that would be x2 and x3. You think of these as the fixed variables of the solution. These are the ones that you can express in terms of the remaining variables in each equation. So x4 and x5 are going to be the free variables in this solution. And in fact, also x1, don't forget about x1. There's no coefficients there, but it still was effectively part of the original linear system. There's a column for it there. So aside from the equations that correspond to this augmented matrix, there's also an interpretation of variables. The columns that contain pivots, let's say x2 and x3, these are going to be free variables. Oh, sorry, these are the fixed variables because they correspond to columns with pivots. And the other variables, x1 for the first column, x4 for the fourth column, x5 for the fifth column, now they don't have pivots in those columns, so those are going to be free variables. So x1, x4, and x5 are free. All right, so what we do to write down that hyperplane solution is, first of all, we try to see the solutions as vectors. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write down a generic vector, but where I can, I'm going to replace the fixed variables, their expressions in terms of the free variables. So here from this first equation, I see that x2 is equal to 1 plus 2x4 minus x5. I'm taking these guys to the right-hand side of the equation. So in fact, what this first equation says is that x2 is equal to 1 plus 2x4 minus x5. Sorry. And then second equation is saying x3 is equal to 2 minus x4 plus x5. Moving these free variables to the right-hand side, I have to switch the signs of the coefficients. And now, what I do, for the free variables, I'll just write the corresponding symbol, but for the fixed variables, I'll replace him by these formulas I get from solving the equations. X2 is 1 plus 2x4 minus x5. X3 is 2 minus x4 plus x5. X4 is free, so I leave it alone. X5 is free, I leave it alone. And now I have an expression, a vector expression, for the solution of the original linear system. That's not quite yet displaying it as a hyperplane. To see that form, what you do is you take this vector and you break it up. There are some constants that appear in each of these components, one in the second component, two in the third component, no constants in the first, fourth, and fifth components. And then we have terms that are proportional to the free variable x1. Let me grab them from each component. First component, I have a 1, and x1 doesn't appear in any other component. And then we have x4 appearing. Let's see, it does not occur in the first slot. It occurs with coefficient 2 in the second slot, coefficient minus 1, coefficient 1, and 0 in the last slot. And finally, we have x5, the last free variable, and its corresponding vector is 0, minus 1, plus 1, 0, doesn't occur in the fourth slot, and 1. All right, and now I've got my hyperplane expression of the solution. This is your starting point, your so-called P0, and then x1, x4, x5 are free parameters in the solution, so they can be any number you want. What you solution vectors, you reach any point in the solution space by starting off at this with this vector and then heading arbitrary scalar multiples of these three vectors. You just add them on. So effectively, my solution space is now being displayed as a three-dimensional hyperplane. It's a vector. All every solution, it's going to look like, shoot, I don't have anything that works here. Hyperplanes are sets of vectors T3, V3, where we allow the parameters T1, T2, and T3 to vary over the entire set of real numbers. And what this does is it generates a hyperplane, a starting point, and you're allowed to stray from that starting point in three distinct directions. So I've got that, this vector expressed in that form. This is P0, this is V1, V2, and V3, and the free variables, well, they correspond to these parameters T1, T2, and T3 that are allowed to be any real number. Okay, and so in those series of free problems, I have you solve linear systems. All right, and then the last problem on the exam, number 6, is to find the inverse of a 3x3 matrix. So the way that's done is you form this augmented matrix where instead of putting a column vector next to your coefficient matrix, you actually put the identity matrix on the right-hand side. So I'll have 1, 1, 1, 2, 2, 1, 1, 0, 3. And to that, I adjoin the 3x3 identity matrix. All right, so the strategy is going to be with row reduced to a reduced row echelon form. And one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to get this side gets converted into the identity matrix. And if that happens, the right-hand side, it's going to be whatever happens to the right-hand side. If the left-hand side goes to the identity matrix, the right-hand side automatically goes to the inverse. And that's what you're trying to compute. Or you get something that's not the identity matrix, and it doesn't matter what happens here. If you don't get the identity matrix on the left, when you converted this matrix to its unique reducer echelon form, in this case, you have no inverse. All right, so what do we have to do? Well, we just have to row reduce this matrix all the way to its reducer echelon form, stare at it, and decide whether we have an inverse or we don't have an inverse. All right, so let's see. Maybe the first thing I'll do is send row 2 to row 2 minus 2 times row 1. And I'll work on the third row 2. Send row 3 to row 3 minus row 1. Why did I do those two operations? Because I need to get rid of this entry below the pivot and this entry below that pivot in the first row. So first thing I'll do is I'll start with the pivot in the upper left-hand corner and use it to clear out entries below it. When we do that, let's see. First row is not changing. 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0. Now the second row, I'm going to subtract 2 times the first row. So let's do it in place. 2 times 2 minus 2 is 0. 2 minus 2 is 0. 1 minus 2 is minus 1. 0, 1 minus 0 is 1. 0 minus 2 is negative 2, and 0 minus 0 is 0. The third row, we're going to subtract the first row. So 1 minus 1 is 0. 0 minus 1 is negative 1. 3 minus 1 is 2. 0 minus 1 is minus 1. 0 minus 0 is 0. 1 minus 0 is 1. Okay, so that cleared out all the entries below this first pivot. You look at where we're at now, and here we have a pivot in the upper row, and below it we have a pivot off to the left. Now, the simplest thing to do here is just to interchange the order of the rows. That will put a pivot up here, and it'll move this pivot down there. So let's do that. Let's send row 2 and interchange it with row 3. And I get 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0. Nothing happened there. Then I'll have 0, minus 1, 2, minus 1, 0, 1, 0, 0, negative 1, 1, minus 2, 0. Good. Now we're in row echelon form. But we got to go all the way to reduce row echelon form, so we have more work to do. What we'll do next is we'll make all the pivots equal to 1. That's we can do simply by sending row 2 to its negative, and row 3 gets sent to its negative. We end up with 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, minus 2, 1, 0, minus 1, 0, 0, 1, minus 1, 2, 0. Good. Last step. Well, it's going to take a couple calculations, but the last thing we need to do is clear out these non-zero entries that are sitting above the pivots. So we can do that. We can clear out this guy by subtracting the third row from the first, and we can clear out this guy by adding 2 times the third row to the second row. So let's do that. Row 1 is going to go to row 1 minus row 3. Row 2 is going to go to row 2 plus 2 times row 3. And what we'll get is 1, 1, 0. And let's see, I'm subtracting the third row, so I'll get a 2 minus a negative 1 is 1 minus a negative 1 is 2. 0 minus 2 is negative 2. 0 minus 0 is 0. Now the second row will add 2 times the third row. So get 0 there, 1. 2 plus negative 2 is 0. Minus 2 plus 1 is 1. Minus 1, I guess. 2 plus 0, that's 2, now that's going to equal 4. 2 times the third row plus the second row. And then we'll get minus 1 there, and then we'll 0, 0, 1.
Professor?
Yeah.
I think you made a mistake on the second part.
Oh, I may have.
These two variables should be switched.
Oh, those are. Ah, okay. Minus 2 row 1. Let's see. Let me. Right, so I would have. Yeah, 2 minus 2. 2 minus 2 is 0. 1 minus 2 is negative 1. Then I have.
You have negative
2 minus 0. I did it. Minus 2 and then 1 there. 1 minus 2 times 0. Sorry, that should have been 1. So minus 2. That went down here. So minus 1 plus 2. Oh, shoot, I screwed up.
I've got it on here if you want it.
Yeah, let's just fix it up on the blackboard, and I'll work from the blackboard rather than this piece of paper. By the way, I hope you see that the exam is really short. And so these kind of mistakes that I'm making because I'm presenting it rather than working out, you should just take your time and do the calculation slowly. You'll have plenty of time. So what we should have ended up with is just throw them away. Let's see. 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0. And then we had 0, 0, minus 1, minus 2, 1, 0, 0, 0, minus 1, 2, minus 1, 0, 1. All right, so that was now intermediate step, but the next thing to do would be to switch maybe 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0. Let's make the pivots equal to 1, 1, 2, minus 1, 0, 0, 1. Minus 2, 1, 0, minus 1. Now we'll switch these guys. We'll get 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, minus 2, 1, 0, minus 1, and then 0, 0, 1, 2, minus 1, 0. And then now we'll work on these guys. Oh, can I do that here? I'll squeeze it in, I think. 1, 1, and then I'm subtracting the third row from the first. So then I'll get 0, and then 1 minus 2 is negative 1, 0 minus 1 is plus 1, and 0 minus 0 is 0. And then here we're going to subtract. We'll add 2 times the third row to the second row, and that will produce 0, 1, and now 0, and let's see, 4 plus 1 is 5. 2 times the third, so this would be negative 2, and then 0 plus minus 1 is minus 1, and then we have 0, 0, 1, 0, 2 minus 1, 0. All right, and then the last thing to get rid of is that guy there. It's the last entry that's sitting in a column that's not a pivot, that's sitting in a column with a pivot. And so the last thing we do is we send row 1 to row 1 minus the second row, and we'll end up with 1, 0, 0. Then let's see, I'm subtracting the second row from the first. Minus 1 minus 5 is negative 6. 1 minus a negative 2 is going to be 3. 0 minus 1 is going to be 1. So somewhere out of box there. And then the rest of the matrix is unchanged. 5 minus 2 minus 1. 0, 0, 1, 2, minus 1, 0. And now we've got the identity matrix here. So the problem is completed. As soon as you point out that this right-hand side is the inverse, okay? Now, if we had a zero row here, that would mean that the matrix does not have an inverse. But so long as we get the identity matrix on the left-hand side, it means that our inverse is whatever occurred on the right-hand side. Okay, well, I did make it through the exam. The exam is going to be really, really close to this practice exam. So understand how to do these calculations. In particular, row reduction is a big part of the exam. So just be able to do that, not only efficiently, but also accurately, and you'll do well in the exam. I typically, if I have a class that's doing their homework, I typically get average scores on the first exam is like 87 or 90%. So this is the easiest exam and you should do well on it. But I make it easy because in fact, these calculations, this row reduction calculation, that's underpinning the rest of the course.
Are we gonna have about the same amount of rooms, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna change the numbers, but it's gonna look essentially like that. Yep.
I gotta walk past all that.